Say goodbye to things scattered, stressed, and the last-minute scrambles to fund your real estate deals. If you're ready to stop chasing leads, endlessly connecting on Facebook, social media, and Zoom just to pitch your stuff to anything that moves and breathes, listen up. The Daily Investor Lead Flow is finally here. This tool has forever helped us pinpoint where to focus our capital raising efforts and where to free our time and energy. Head over to dailyinvestorleadflow.com to discover how much of a game changer it can be for you. The Daily Investor Lead Flow literally changed everything for us. Now you can finally have the opportunity to take back your time and get your life back. Remember those times you reached out to investors and heard nothing back? Those days are coming to an end. This tool will zoom out, highlighting all the gaps. It will also zoom in, removing all the guesswork from prioritizing your efforts. Plus, it will help set clear expectations for your business and ensure that your capital raising strategies are assets, not liabilities. Don't wait. Take the Daily Lead Flow by going to dailyinvestorleadflow.com. That's dailyinvestorleadflow.com. Your future self will forever thank you. Creating a multi-million dollar business today is easier than ever, and at the same time, difficult. For those who don't know how to break the cheat code, today's episode is for those who are looking to start a business that will eventually exit from millions of dollars, or those who have already started a business but recognize that they need to pivot.
Hello, I'm Pommy.
And I'm Nancy.
Together we make the Kitty Sisters. We're apartment syndicators, entrepreneurs, and educators with big dreams and a $300 million multifamily apartment portfolio.
We're into helping successful entrepreneurs and founders who have a passion for real estate and $100K to $5 million to invest, all aiming to turn their business profits into a lasting legacy through income-producing asset investments.
This is Cashflow Multipliers, a podcast dedicated to your financial freedom and the lifestyle you deserve.
How do I know this? Because I've done it myself 3 times in the past 6 years, and I sold those businesses for $45.2 million. I'm going to break down exactly how you can use these strategies to create a multi-million dollar business. This is what I call the 3 things that you need to create a multi-million dollar exit. Now, the first thing is that when you start a business, you have to think about the exit in mind. The problem is most people, when they start a business, they're thinking about what computer to use, what software to get, all these things that are great. But the problem is they forget that as they're walking, there may be a black hole here that they will fall through because they didn't think about the exit ahead of time. Instead, what you should be doing is when you're walking through this path, you have to also already think, hey, this is about to happen. Can I exit here? If I can exit here, how much money can I make? At this point in time, this is the critical point. You don't want yourself to walk down this hole because you're looking down, not paying attention to this big black hole over here, and you fall into it, right? So when you want to start a business, the first thing you need to do is you need to look up and you need to think, what is my exit strategy? How am I going to get to my end goal? Because for most of us, the end goal isn't to have this business forever, right? The end goal is to create a legacy for our family and ourselves. And so that's why this is such an important point. Have an exit plan in mind. So exit strategies are important, but you need to have multiple exit strategies because you have to be flexible because there's going to be different things that come into your business that really gets you, maybe knock you off base, right? In our fashion war, when we first started, we were really focusing on only sustaining our business, really trying to keep our heads above water, keeping it kind of like an ostrich that has their head up underground, right? We didn't look up at all. And that's the biggest lesson that we learned. When we were in our fashion business, we were making multiple millions of dollars revenue in this business. But once our customers shut down all their resale stores, because we didn't focus on the exit at all, our business became obsolete. And thus, there was no value to be sold, right? Like this business was worth nothing at that point. And that's the biggest mistake that we actually learned. Because if you never have an exit, you're going to end up in a situation that eventually something's going to happen that comes along your business that makes it so that it's not valuable anymore. This isn't just about a single digit million dollar business that we had. This isn't just something that happened to our business. We know someone who actually was generating like over $1 billion in revenue in their business. And you know what happened? We seriously asked him, someone came approaching him, wanted to buy his business for $1.2 billion at the height, right? At the height of his business. And you know what he said? He said, no, this is my baby. I'm going to keep it forever. Well, forever, forever, ever, that doesn't actually exist. Because you know what happened? Eventually, several years later, his business actually just went down the drain and they ended up actually having to file for bankruptcy. So that $1.2 billion exit became $0 with debt tagged onto it. So that's why it's so important that like we're not holding on to these properties or businesses just because we want to or we feel like, hey, this is our legacy. It's our baby. You have to actually focus on the real number, right? Like, is it profitable? Will it generate a whole bunch of money for me? If it doesn't, then don't focus on it. Make sure that you keep those exit strategy in mind and make sure that you're really flexible with it. Boy, did we learn our lessons. And from that point on, once we got into multifamily apartments, we completely changed that approach, right? When we moved to multifamily apartments, what we actually figured out was, hey, every plan, every business we're going to buy, we need to focus on what's our exit. We're not emotionally attached to any of these properties. we don't care about it at all, right? We focus on the investment returns and we don't hold on to these properties longer than necessary. Our goal is to maximize the profitability, not to keep the business as our baby, because we know that the massive companies, like I told you earlier, that actually collapsed because they thought they were holding on to their baby and then eventually it wasn't something that they can actually sell. The second thing that you have to know is how much is your business worth to others? What's its valuation? So there's two ways of calculating this. The first one is EBITDA versus NOI. So EBITDA is used for businesses, traditional businesses. NOI is used for properties like multifamily apartment businesses. So both helps the business determine the business value. It being focusing on how much income the property is producing or the business is producing. So EBITDA, it stands for earnings before income, tax, depreciation, amortization. NOI stands for net operating income. When you focus on EBITDA for businesses, typically it's based on industries. It's called the multiple. How much multiple will you get from the earnings? For instance, if it's a tech business, you're going to have a higher multiple than, for example, a restaurant business, right? If you have a plumbing business, it's going to have a lower multiple than maybe some other type of businesses that have a really high growth ceiling. The cool thing about net operating income that I think is a more precise number is because it's based truly on the performance of the property. It's not based on just some sort of random industry standard, because if you're focusing on business in the United States, for example, every region, every city has a different valuation for that business, right? And with multifamily apartments, because we're focusing specifically on the NOI, we're actually focusing on the property's performance versus just generalization. And how we calculate net operating income is value equals net operating income divided by cap rate, right? We're not just going straight multiple. We're actually getting the NOI from this. If you have $1 million NOI and you have a 5% cap, that's a $20 million property right there, right? That's the math. And so the cool thing about multifamily also is that the valuation isn't just strictly just based on revenue that the property generates, which is rental income and other income. But the other thing that really kicks this into high gear is what we call appreciation. And that goes way beyond revenue. So again, the EBITDA of a business is how much money that business is making. So if you're selling a service or a product, plumbing business, how much toilets are you fixing? A restaurant business, how much food are you selling? That revenue actually is used as a multiple, right? But for multifamily apartments, again, it's more than just the service we're providing. We're not just providing cleanable or affordable housing. Tenants are paying rents. We're charging for other income possibilities as well. But we get to do the other cool thing called appreciation. Unlike any other businesses, the apartment doesn't just have revenue as its source, right? So the first appreciation. So APP is appreciation. The first one is a unique thing. It's called organic appreciation. What is organic appreciation? So this is based on you having to do nothing and the value of the property keep increasing. You say, Pommy, how is that possible? You know how they say, like, if you keep the money in the bank, inflation's going to eat away at its value? Well, the opposite thing actually happens with multifamily apartments. As inflation increases, that also increases the rent, right? So the person who's coming in and renting the apartment now has to pay a little bit more because, hey, we're tacking on cost of inflation to it. We may pay a little bit more in payroll, maybe pay a little more in labor or other equipment expenses, but we sure make up for it by making sure that we increase our rent proportionally, if not a little bit more. This also has to do with the demand of the area, where typically we see that rent growth, organic rent growth, is actually a little bit higher than inflation in our own specific portfolio and is not atypical results at all. So this one is an organic appreciation that happens naturally. You don't have to do anything. You come back, you buy a property, you hold it in the right area. 5 years forward, there will be appreciation. So the second type of appreciation is called what is called forced appreciation. So this is yet another way that valuation is increased in multifamily apartments. Forced appreciation sounds kind of harsh, but it's not as bad as it sounds. So forced appreciation, just imagine this. You buy an apartment, man, the paint is chipping away. The landscaping is horrible. All the plants are dying. The roof's leaking. There's no signage. People can't even find the leasing office, right? So what we do as multifamily apartment owners, when we take over a property, we put in a budget. Hey, we're going to have to repaint the entire building. We're going to have to fix the roof. We make sure we buy all new signage. We may even change the branding of the property. Come in and we put in all new landscaping, all of which will actually can help us force appreciate in two ways. First way is directly. Maybe it actually, there are other things, like maybe we put in EV charging station, right? EV charging station that the tenants have to pay money to use. That's actually increasing the value of the property. So force appreciation is like we physically or we do something that actually increases the value versus the organic that we didn't have to do anything, right? We sleep, if we wake up 5 years from now, Austin power style, cryogenic freeze, come back, it's like, oh, for that 1 million became 1 billion, right? So in this case, forced appreciation is action done by the operators to increase the valuation of the property. So the first way is, hey, the revenue the property is already increasing, is already generating, that increases the valuation. Then we focus on appreciation. The first way is organic, which means you don't do anything and it actually increases in value. Then we focus on a forced appreciation where the operator actually steps in and do things that actually help increase the value of the property. So indirect and direct income can be generated. So when you're selling a business versus real estate. So when you're selling a business, again, you're thinking about multiple, the EBITDA, right? Multiple on the EBITDA. So for a tech company, you may say, Pommy, how much EBITDA, how much multiple on an EBITDA does those tech companies typically sell for? So typically 10 to 25 times, right? That's typical. Restaurants, 4 to 8, if it's doing well. If it's a small mom and pop, maybe even less, maybe 3, right? So those are the growth factor. When it comes to real estate valuation, because it's based on NOI divided by cap rate, that varies from markets to market. Now, the way we buy multifamily apartment is exactly the same way that private equity do, which is leveraging other people's money. We raise a significant portion of the money that's used to actually purchase these properties. And in return, it actually improves our profitability upon exit, right? This is the way that a lot of people can generate the higher return because you're putting a little bit of money into the deal, but you get to control a really big piece of asset. Super easy example, if you raise $1 million and you end up selling the business for $10 million, you got a 10x return, right? So as general partners, we actually get compensated for putting the deals together, for putting these multifamily apartment deals together. And as a result, we typically get about 20% of the money that we raise of the equity. So for example, here's an easy math. If you raise $10 million, and don't be shocked by these numbers, this is very typical and doable for apartment investing. So you raise $10 million, right? And you put $100K into the deal. Let's say that it's a 20%, right, equity that you get. That means that you get $2 million for putting this deal together. Now, you only invested $100K into this deal. That means that you made $2 million. That means that's a 20x multiple. Do you see that? So you raise $10 million. You get 20% carried interest for putting the deal together. That equals to $2 million. And you only invested $100K. So that means that you got a 20x multiple just for putting the deal together. That is not the end of it. In multifamily apartments, when we sell, we hope to double the profit, double the passive investor's return. So if they get 2x return, our 20x, 2 million becomes 4 million. Okay, oops, my handwriting is kind of messy here, but basically this is 4 million. That means that original 10 million that you raised, you got 20% equity, which is 2 million, 20x already of your amount that you personally invested into the deal. Now the property actually sold, right? It made 2x return for their passive investor. It doubled their money. It also doubled your money, which means your 20x becomes 40x. This is why using OPM is so important, because in this sense, you're gonna be able to accelerate your wealth so much faster because you already focused on having the exit in mind. You knew we were able to get this. The third thing is your business sellable? Guys, not all businesses are sellable. Let's compare two different types of businesses. So the first business is really transactional. The founder, he's involved, she's involved in every single part of the business. They're in the operations, process, delivery, marketing. So the growth is not really predictable, right? And so that's one of the key focus that people focus on. Is the business predictable? The valuation of that business is going to be down the drain if it's not predictable and if the founder truly is inside the business. It's unsellable. It's worthless to other people. Even if you see value in it, other people are not. In order for a business to be sellable, it has to have intrinsic value to someone else, not just you. So the key here is to build a business with intrinsic value that creates an asset that appeals to a large group of people. For this type of business, otherwise it'll be worthless. This first business that I just showed you, that I demonstrated, however, it's worth zero because the founder is completely inside the business and it's not sellable because it's not predictable. So business number two, a multifamily apartment business, it has performance and it has growth. So for example, let's say the business generated $1.5 million in net operating income with a 6% rent growth. NOI will increase to $1.59 million and in 5 years, it will grow even more. This model actually fits what we're looking for, right? Because it's an existing business, it has recurring income, it has an existing infrastructure, it will appreciate in value, it generates cash flow, and guys, best of all, it also has massive tax savings. And guys, guess what? It also is a business that will increase in income and is totally scalable. We can raise rents across the entire portfolio, across the entire property, not just individual units, but as leases become renewed or tenants move out, the valuation will actually increase. So at this point, you may be saying, okay, so how do we know if a business is worth selling, worth exiting? So here's three boxes that you need to check off. Number one, it has to have recurring or predictable income, right? It's growing. It's profitable with cash flow. So apartment, it's growing because it's in an area where rents are increasing. It's obviously profitable and it's predictable. Thus, the valuation will actually keep increasing. And because with based on NOI. It's really going to be measured based on the property's performance, just not on conjecture. And because general partners were putting the deal together, again, we're making multiple exits just because we're actually able to get 10 to 20 to 30 to 40 X multiple depending on the deal. So that's the two different type of businesses. So the two type of businesses, so why are they valued so differently? Again, it's due to the fundamental principles of value creation. An unpredictable income stream business with no guarantee of growth, lower valuation will happen, right? That's business number one. But the syndication model that we went over with apartment building, we're buying a massive business without personal investment or significant personal investment, probably even less investment than you would if you would buy a restaurant or a plumbing business. But yet the profitability is significantly more, as you can see with the multiple. So you can own assets that you invest very little money in, but you can actually gain millions of dollars from it. And we talk about growth and scalability. You may say like, hey, Palmy, 20 to 40x return sounds amazing. Well, that's not it, right? Imagine if you purchase one or two more multifamily apartments properties per year for the next 10 years. Guys, that's actually our plan to become a 100 millionaire, right? Centimillionaires, that's what they call them. How? Because we're going to be able to buy multiple of these properties per year. In comparison, there's absolutely no small business, SME type business that can compare in valuation of multifamily apartments. Like the level that it can achieve is not the same, right? If you do this correctly, you can scale your business to multiple millions, tens of millions, 100 millions. There's even billion-dollar companies that are out there doing this. It all has to do with the simplicity of the model, right? Of OPM. Having been on both sides, we can say that the world of syndication, private equity, or using other people's money isn't more complicated than running any other type of businesses. Yes, of course, there's legal hurdles, there's relationship management, but it's a simple business that you have to focus on at its core. It's not about building a new app or trying to create a cure to cancer, right? Which would be so difficult. But when you focus on doing just multifamily apartments, providing clean, affordable housing that meets basic human needs, it's a simple business. And it's a business that can get you to multiple million-dollar exits in just a couple years.
We can't wait to begin this journey with you. Check us out at thekittysisters.com/podcast.